Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Chicago Bulls coverage show. I am your host, Keith Cork. I am joined, as always, by my good buddy here and co-host, Mr. Trey Hill, to break down a game four loss to the Milwaukee Bucks. We don't have a final score just yet. There's a couple minutes left in the game, but it is a 20-point blowout here. I've got my parents in town, so I figured why not just start early so I can go spend some time, quality time, not swearing at the Bulls with my family. But no, I mean, yeah. All in all, Trey, I know we were talking a little bit before we got on here, but a pretty good effort. I mean, you know, it's the Milwaukee Bucks. They've still got Giannis Antetokounmpo, obviously. They've still got really great role players. You know, we're going to talk about a few of them here in the show. I'm not upset about this loss as much as I was last loss.
I'm not either, especially considering Caruso was only able to play 17 minutes before exiting due to catching that elbow to the face. I think what we've learned in this series more than anything is when the Bulls offense, it was great at the beginning of the season, but when it struggles, they don't have a defense to lean back on. And that I really think going forward, the Bulls have to have like the mindset to have an aggressive defense moving forward. That's when we've seen them have that kind of mindset, they've been successful. And watching Caruso leave, he was really the only aggressive defender we had left with Lonzo Ball being out. So I think that really kind of took the wind out of the sails going like once he was out for good.
Yeah, Bulls made a little bit of a faux run there in the third, but it never really felt like they had a chance to take this one over. It felt like, you know, anytime the Bulls were able to give a punch, the Bucks had easily a counterpunch left over for them. And yeah, the defense, you know, obviously one of the big things that we can – go ahead.
I think part of that feeling is that we don't have that aggressive defense. Like we don't feel like we can't punch back, especially when you don't have Caruso and you don't have Lonzo out there. So a team that is as talented as Milwaukee, they know that whenever they want to hit us with a 1-2 haymaker, like they have the capabilities to do that. Whereas we don't have the ability to lock in and get, you know, three stops in a row.
Game started. Bobby, a couple of the Bucks, you know, role players that really stood out to me. Obviously, Bobby Portis. Obviously an ex-Bull. Can't say I necessarily am a huge fan of his now. I know I see you clapping there, Trey. You're probably happy, and that's okay. I think he's fine. He just gets so excited about the – you know me. I get a little butthurt about people that get excited about doing well. You know, I like the humble guys, the humble brag kind of guys, like the Jimmy Butlers and the DeMar DeRozans of the world. But Bobby Portis, he, as much expression as he gives, he started the game really hot. I think he hit like three or four shots in a row where he just basically did the same shimmy little shake to the little sidestep and a jumper from mid-range. Bulls didn't do a great job switching up any coverage there. It happened so many times in a row. I was hoping they would just maybe get in his space a little bit more, and that just didn't happen. Bucks been away from that, though, so it's not like that was the only thing that killed us this game. The other guy, obviously, is he who shall not be named on this show or any Bulls show, but how do I make this an insult here? Grayson Assen? I don't know. Asshole Grayson?
Zach Lowe of the Low Post calls him Ted Cruz. So Ted Cruz.
He does look like a mini Ted Cruz.
Perfect. So I don't think there's more of an insult than saying mini Ted Cruz. Had the playoff game of his life tonight. He went 10 of 12, 6 of 7 from 3, 27 points. He had a great game. And with the coverage that the Bulls – like, I felt like he was getting pretty good looks. But he was able to execute, and that's the difference.
Well, another thing where it's like, you know, I wish the Bulls would have tried maybe something different, because they kept every time the double came towards, you know, Giannis. And this is by design from Giannis, too, and from the Bucks also. They're not like idiots. They're smart as well as far as basketball IQ goes. But Giannis was basically forcing the switch to come from Grayson Allen and just giving Grayson the most wide open looks he's probably ever gotten in his career, certainly in a playoff game. Or a game of high magnitude. And so Grayson took advantage, 10 of 12 from the field. Obviously, that's better than, you know, you'd even expect in that situation. But it's not like super, super duper surprising, because, you know, again, these are just wide open looks. 6 of 7 from 3, yeah, 27 points, just absolutely demolished the Bulls. You hate to go out like that as a Bulls fan, though, especially with the history from this season with Grayson Allen breaking Caruso's wrist and making him sit out for so long. Just brutal, but you know, there's not much you can do, because either you give Giannis all the leeway he wants on offense, or you don't double off of Grayson, or you double off of Grayson and you give, you know, make Grayson Allen beat you, and Grayson Allen beat his today.
They did, and I don't think the Bulls have the defensive talent to pre-rotate, kind of. So when you see that switch is going to, or that double is going to have to come, whoever is going to be trying to rotate over to Grayson Allen, you might have to leave a step or two early to make sure Grayson Allen isn't the guy getting the open shot. Like, to me, I would like not being able to make those defensive adjustments on the fly is just really what kills the Bulls on these runs, because when the offense works, it's great. But when the offense doesn't work, it just seems like it kills the entire team.
Yeah, it's a you could really, you know, people call it a make or miss league, which I think is just such a simplification, oversimplification. But it is, I mean, there's definitely some truth to it. And you could tell in the first half, particularly, in the difference, you know, between the Bulls getting quality shots and not getting quality shots, and the Bucks getting quality shots and not quality shots, because the Bulls are really relying on the Bucks, you know, missing shots in order to get the ball out in transition, which is where, you know, they want to score. And they just didn't get a lot of chances to do that today. It was a Bucks style play today, and the way that the Bucks controlled that style is by getting quality looks at the basket. You know, even if they would have missed shots, I don't think you would have seen a whole lot of Bulls runouts, which, you know, is really going to cap what we can do against this Milwaukee Bucks team. So it was an uphill battle. Never really, you know, thought the Bulls could win this. I was really, really hoping the Bulls could win two games. So yeah, it was always going to be an uphill battle with this, you know, Bucks team, but. You know, I was hoping the Bulls could win two, and it's looking more and more like they're just going to, you know, win one, which is about what we expected, right, Trey?
That's what we were hoping for at the start of the series, and especially after how it started. I was, you know, that first game, I was a little worried, but to get the one win, to be competitive, I think, in this game, after, you know, being, you know, you're down already. So to me, it's great experience for the guys. I know DeRozan's experienced. Vucevic, he played what? I think they had a series or two in the playoffs as an 8 seed maybe with the Magic. Mm-hmm. So he's probably been to a couple playoff games. And Caruso, but you've got Zach, you've got Patrick Williams, you've got Kobe White, you've got Io. All these guys, they haven't played in the playoffs before. So to go against a team of this caliber and to still be competitive, even when it looks, you know, it's very clear that you're outmatched in the series and things aren't going your way. They stayed, like you said, they stayed in the game for three quarters. To be able to do that, I'm chalking that up as a win, as long as the coaching staff can look at the tape and fix the errors, you know, this offseason going into next year, because the team should be pretty much the same going into next year. So there's no excuse to not improve on the shortcomings that we had this, you know, this series.
Yeah, and my parents are in town, and Trey, I think, you know, my dad and I are sitting and talking. I think one of the things that, you know, we're both noticing, he's been a long-time basketball coach, obviously coached me when I was younger, been around the game for a long time. So we do talk hoops, believe it or not, when he's in town. And we were watching this game, and one thing that we both noticed, you know, just defensively, the defensive awareness, particularly on the weak side, particularly on rotations, just, you know, it's got to improve between the season and next season if the Bulls are ever going to be serious contenders to, you know, make waves in the playoffs. I'm not even saying to win the championship, just to even, you know, get past the first round, be a second round out maybe. That's the kind of, you know, improvement we're looking at here as far as incremental goes. And if you do those things to make that kind of improvement and be that team. And then if somebody makes a jump of some kind, that takes you up to, you know, hey, maybe we are a championship contender team. And I know a lot of fans were talking about that earlier this season. I thought that was absolutely ludicrous, but you know, we had some bad luck too. And even in this game too, we had some bad luck with the Bucks shooting lights out. A lot of the breaks just weren't going our way. You know, we had loose balls that were just, you know, not getting up in our hands. We weren't getting offensive rebounds. We weren't getting calls. You know, this is kind of, it was just it, as far as like in terms of game scripting, this is like a boring game. This is like the expectation.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores led by Walmart and Target are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
It was. So my question, I guess, is moving forward, we know the core of this team is likely not going to change. I think if we can improve on one thing on the defensive end, I keep saying they need to be more aggressive. I think that comes with better communication. I think Zach's never going to be a plus off, you know, a super plus off ball defender. But if you can have the other guys yelling at him when to rotate, if you can have DeRozan calling the stuff out. Caruso, I think Lonzo does a decent job of it. I don't know necessarily who on the Bulls is like the leader of the defense, the guy who's calling out all the coverages and those things. And like, you saw Marcus Smart win Defensive Player of the Year. And there's lots of players that if you just look at, like, defensive ability against another player that are better than Marcus Smart. But he leads that defense. He's one of the most communicative players on, like, in the league when it comes to calling stuff out. And that value is just so underappreciated, I think, in the league. And I think that's really what the Bulls are lacking. That's why they're a step slow on rotations. And they're not – We say we need the ball to pop on offense. We need the defenders to pop on defense.
Yeah. And, you know, let's talk about Patrick Williams here. Patrick had a great game. I know you're talking a little bit about that, too, before we got on here, Trey. I like it. I loved his aggressiveness on the offensive end. But you're talking about defense, too, and needing a defensive communicator. That's a role that, you know, is open for the taking. And if he wants to really establish himself and be a guy that, you know, the Bulls are going to want to keep around long term, for sure, he's got to turn. I think that's an easy win for him to turn into that guy. I know he's not, you know, naturally an outspoken guy. He just seems very quiet and you know, just kind of does his business on the floor. And I don't want to force him to be something he's not. But getting that from that position, especially when you know you're not sure what you're going to get offensively from that position, would be a huge win in my opinion. So that'd be one
and
guy.
See, I'm looking at Io. I'm looking at the other direction because I want Patrick Williams. Like I want Patrick Williams to be the guy guarding Jason Tatum. Mm-hmm. I want him to be in the action, and I want Io to be the guy, you know, covering Jaylen Brown on the back end, rotating, calling stuff out, making sure everyone's going in the right direction. So I mean, I would love for Patrick Williams to be that guy also. But to me, like if I had to pick one guy on the roster, I think I would pick Io to try and embrace that role.
But yeah, some of the good things. I mean, Patrick Williams, you know, broke out of his shooting slump. He had a really good game, 20 points on 7 of 13 shooting from the floor, at least shooting. Still making some mental errors out there on the defensive end. Still making some errors on the offensive end, of course, too. No turnovers.
I mean, we saw Kevin Durant freeze and let Jason Tatum get a wide open layup in the most important play in that game one. So, you know, everyone has defensive lapses. But I was just excited to see he shot 6 3-pointers and 7 shots inside. A variety of shots. He was, you know, trying different things. I was super impressed with him this game. It was the thing that I had highlighted the most. That's why I hadn't talked about it. I was saving it for last because I wanted to end on such a positive thing.
Well, I'm sorry I took that away from you. Listeners, please take a moment. Go follow at @EthosFantasyBK on Twitter, the single most dominant basketball and fantasy news feed on earth. Get all your NBA news in one handy Twitter feed. It's faster than the competition and provides more analysis. Again, that's at @EthosFantasyBK on Twitter. Go follow it now. And let's talk we'll go to a downer then here, Trey. How about we bring our listeners down a little bit? Coby White. Oh, my God. This guy. I was swearing at him up and down about 10 times in a row when he turned the ball over twice in a row to Grayson Allen. Just shook. Looks absolutely shook out there. Does not look like he has the confidence that we've seen him have at times. You know, that's how Coby is, right? He's very up and down. He's a feeling shooter. If he's feeling it, he's on. If he's not, he's out. Played about 12 minutes today. Just 1 of 5 from the field, 0 of 3 from distance. A couple turnovers, which I just mentioned there, 2 steals in a row from Grayson Allen, a couple assists. Just not bringing us what we need from that bench role. And our bench scoring has just been absolutely atrocious. I mean, it's been bad all season. So how do we fix that going forward? Let me ask you that.
With Coby, I'd like to see his handle get just a little tighter in the offseason. It seems like whenever he's going against someone who can't, you know, challenge him with stealing the ball on the defensive end, he can flow right into his offense. But when he has to try and protect the ball from his defender, he struggles with that sometimes. So to me, it's he has to continue to develop as a ball handler, because I do think he has the playmaking skills. We've seen that when he gets going, when he's flowing, he can drive and make the right passes. But I think his handle's just a little suspect at times. And he got in his head about it enough that the announcers mentioned it on air that he didn't have confidence in his handle. So, like, I would love to see that. In terms of how to get more bench scoring, well, to me, I'm looking next year. I'm not even thinking about the next game. So,
yeah,
Caruso's still, you know, Caruso's on the bench. You got Caruso, Coby White, Io. To me, you play more Derrick Jones Jr. at the 5. Mm-hmm. Is really what I think, to kind of energize that bench to. Because if you're playing small at the 5, everyone knows, okay, we got to go hard on the defensive end, but everybody's quick, but we got to rotate. It just seems like the urgency level rises when you play with a small 5. And I would really like to see the Bulls bench embrace the chaos. If you have Caruso, you've got Io, maybe you can leave Lonzo in to run with the bench crew and just really ramp up the defensive effort and intensity.
Let me say, I thought this was probably the best game we've seen this series from Zach LaVine. There were definitely some things that happened that I didn't think were ideal, particularly challenging Giannis at the rim and then fading away, which you never do against a shot blocker. That's always going to end up with your shot being blocked. He did that 2 or 3 times today, which was just kind of perplexing to me. You know, I felt like he took generally, though, good shots. Quality of shots was definitely improved over last game for sure. 8 of 18 from the floor, 24 points. He had 13 assists also, seeing the floor and passing the rock really well. So that was impressive as well. I just thought this was a really great Zach LaVine game. I was really hoping that he would have the kind of, you know, coming out party that Devin Booker and other shooting guards have had in the past in the playoffs, and it just hasn't happened. We do think that maybe he is a little injured still, Trey, but I mean, what did you see from Zach today? Did you see what we've seen, you know, the last year and a half, you know, couple of years here?
I thought he looked more comfortable. The knee is definitely an issue. And part of that, I think, is why he challenges Giannis and things like that. He's so used to being the most athletic guy on the court. And I'm not saying he's more athletic than Giannis, even if he's at 100%. But he's just so used to being that guy. But combined with Giannis's athleticism not being 100%, he can't get there. But I think, to me, it felt like the game slowed down for him a little bit. This is his first time in the playoffs, and DeMar is the guy on this team, so it's not like Zach was getting, you know, tons of reps even in those first couple games. So to me, it really felt like Zach just kind of figured out the playoff speed of things, and He's so talented, he makes things look effortless, and that's why I think fans get so frustrated with him when things don't go well, because he makes it look like sometimes it looks as if he's not even trying. But
yeah.
I think he's calibrated finally to the playoff aspect, and that's huge going forward for somebody to come in and, you know, get the playoff reps.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a good experience for him as well. He's still relatively young, still got definitely some years left in his tank. He can still even improve on what he's been in the past, guys. So, I, we're talking about, do we max out Zach LaVine or do we not? And, you know, it seems pretty clear to me that he's got the bag. He's got, you know, the offensive skill set that you want. I think you give it to him. I think you take that chance. I don't think, you know, I do wish that he'd play better defense. I wish he had better off-ball defensive awareness, particularly. I think that's something that, you know, given his nature and what we know about the guy and what he said, that he will work on and he can improve on. So I'm not ready to give up on Zach LaVine. I know some people are in the opposite camp as far as that goes. I just think that's kind of...
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
A tad ridiculous. You know, I know it's always frustrating to lose basketball games, but we're playing
against
the
haters. They're haters.
Yeah. It's a tad ridiculous. You know, I've had my own questions about Zach LaVine. If you guys have listened to the show quite a bit, I've definitely questioned him here and there. And, you know, I definitely think he can improve, but I don't think there's any question here that he's worth that max amount. So let's all just shut that down. Let's just shut that down, especially for this season while he's hurt, when we're in the playoffs playing against potentially the champions of the entire association here. Let's just shut down all the Zach LaVine no max player talk for now, please. Twitter, you heard me out there. But hopefully, you know, you guys were on some of his overs there in Thrive Fantasy. I don't think they had any, but if they did, you should be. But that's our new daily fantasy partner here at Sports Ethos, Thrive Fantasy. Prop up with Thrive Fantasy on their mobile app or at thrivefantasy.com. Use code ETHOS when you sign up to get 100% deposit match bonus on your first deposit up to $100, plus either 2 or 4 free game tickets to play. Pick player props on the biggest names playing every night. Score points when your props hit, and the players with the most points win a share of the nightly prize money. And check out our Sports Ethos DFS team or podcast for advice on winners. Again, that code is ETHOS over at thrivefantasy.com. Pose this question to you, I think at least 3 times in the show here, Trey. Is Alex Caruso injury prone? So here we go again. This man plays balls out, and so he gets hurt here and there. And I had to leave today's game, obviously. Didn't come back in the second half, being tested for a concussion. What did you think about the play? What did you think about Alex Caruso's impact in the game and missing that in the second half?
Again, it's hard to call him injury prone, but like injury probable, is that a word? Because he just plays with such an intensity. The play, it's playoff basketball. People, you know, guys are going to get hit. I didn't feel any type of way about the play when it happened. Mm-hmm. So it's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Like it was just like shit happens, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it was unfortunate when it happened. I groaned audibly whenever it turned out he was out for the game, because at that point he had 4 assists already. He was really the playmaker before Zach stepped up and you know, kind of took that over. He was really doing a lot. And so I don't think he's injury prone, but yeah, maybe a little injury probable just because he plays with such a reckless abandon.
Yeah, that's a good point. Injury probable. I like that. New word there you made up there. Yeah, it just concerns me a little bit just because I don't know if I can, you know, count on this guy to always be available in the basketball game, which is like the one thing I'm like worried about. Not that I necessarily, I mean, obviously Alex Caruso is fantastic and he deserved every penny that he's being paid. It's just something that's like always in the back of my mind. I'm like, okay, well, is Alex Caruso going to be able to like finish out this game? And I just can't ever answer that with like a straight. That's like, I feel the same way about Patrick Beverley. And that's not because he gets injured. It's because he's like always thrown out of basketball games and always getting just stupid technical fouls. It's like one of those type of deals where it's like, okay, I can't really count on this guy to play the entire game. So, you know, hopefully I get 20, 25 minutes out of him. You know, if not, then he might go 35, 40 and play really well. So just a thought I had in my mind there about Alex Caruso. Obviously, he's a fantastic player, though. I have nothing against Alex Caruso at all. Io. Though, let's talk about Io. You mentioned him as, you know, potential guy to step up on the defensive end and be a communicator on that side of the basketball. He comes in and hits a couple of big threes. He was 3 of 7 from the floor, 8 points, not a lot of assists, but a couple of assists, I should say. But, you know, had a positive impact, brought some energy into this game. Do you play Io Dosunmu over Kobe White in this next game, in this elimination game?
Yeah, I would. Mm-hmm. I don't even think that's that. I don't think that's I don't think that's anything. I think that's obvious at this point.
I think they'll both probably get. We'll have to look at the status of Caruso, obviously, because if Caruso's out, they'll likely both get quite a bit of minutes. But yeah, go ahead.
Right. I mean, we saw it tonight. Kobe White had 13 minutes. Io had 29. I think Io is clearly going to be the guy they lean on going forward, and I think that's the right decision, especially against a team like the Bucks. I think you need that size. You need that wing. You know, that wingspan, that length out there, and. Kobe's handle isn't developed enough that he can take advantage of a team this long and this talented on the defensive end. So yeah, you're right on the money, especially if Caruso can't play. Io's going to start. I'm pretty sure, but even if he can go, I expect Io to be the guy getting the majority of the bench minutes.
Yeah. And, you know, I hope that Io can bring a little bit of that fighting through the screens that Caruso has brought, you know, every single night. That's really given us a chance here. So, again, more flowers to Caruso here. I just feel like that's really given us a chance in these games, especially those first two games, to kind of steal a basketball game. And who knows? Maybe we steal another one from these guys in Milwaukee in the next one. It's not at all a given. It's not even a probable thing. It's a very long shot thing. But from what I've seen from the Bulls trade, I won't count it out. I think that they have a lot of heart here, and they're giving their full effort. And if they catch the Milwaukee Bucks sleeping, I think they have a chance to really steal a basketball game from them here. So, you know, looking for a second win, that would be huge for us, I think. And it would extend the series, obviously, which is giving us, you know, more experience here for guys like Io Dosunmu. But speaking of giving experience, I want to talk about giving here. Stop giving your personal information to your ISP. On top of overcharging, your ISP is legally allowed to legally sell your browsing history to third-party advertisers for a ton of cash. Take your privacy back with ExpressVPN. Head to our special promotional link at expressvpn.com/hoopball to get 3 bonus months on a 12-month subscription. It's super easy. Turning it on takes just one click, and it works great with streaming services like Netflix or sports packages like League Pass 2. Once more, that's expressvpn.com/hoopball. Grab those 3 bonus months. Meow. So Billy Donovan, I've brought him up all series. Is, you know, this is kind of a evaluation of him moving forward as a head coach. So just, you know, give me your thoughts before I give you my thoughts, Trey. What did you think about Billy's handling of game 4 here?
I mean, I thought they were doing really well to start. They were only down 3 at the end of the first quarter. Milwaukee kind of turned it on after that, but I thought they did fine. You'd like to see, it seems like they're trying to make the right adjustments. I think he's just making the adjustments too late. Again, I keep going back to that. You have to have something to fall back on when your offense that you like to run just isn't working. And I don't think that the Bulls between the early season success and then the injuries and everything, just trying to stay afloat, I don't think the Bulls developed good secondary habits, and now they're trying to do that in the playoffs just to survive. So I think it's not a red flag for Billy Donovan, but I think it is a little bit of a yellow flag. And what we really need to see is this offseason, the next training camp, is these guys need to be able to do these things on the defensive end that we wish they could do now, that we see flashes of, but we don't see on a regular basis.
Yeah, there have been some really good flashes defensively, and I'll definitely second that. And I think even in spots in this game, they played defense really fantastic against Giannis, keeping him out of the paint. And, you know, they had a very obvious game plan that they were going to give up that three ball, and unfortunately buried them. And you know, Grayson Allen just shot it incredibly. So did Wes Matthews. So did Patrick Connaughton. Just all of their shooters just had an incredible day from the floor, and that happens. And that's just something you got to live with if that's what you decide to do. But their ability to build a wall against Giannis, I thought, you know, even with the defenders that we've had and we've seen the last 2 months, I thought, you know, I think I definitely have to give some Billy some credit there. And he's done a pretty good job with that. Like you said, I think that there are adjustments being made. I do think they're also late. I think that, you know, there's some obvious stuff that's happening. Like, you know, I'll point to what I said before about Bobby Portis. It was like the first, I want to say five out of the first seven possessions were Bobby Portis just isolating in the mid range against Vucevic and somebody else was guarding him. I can't remember who it was.
When he made those three in a row, they were all three on DeRozan.
DeRozan, and then they switched Vucevic for the last one.
Yeah, they brought Vucevic over because DeRozan was just too small to guard to guard Portis, and they didn't have anything. You know, they didn't have a backup plan.
Yeah, so his answer, and I get, now you say that, it kind of makes sense now. But at the time that it happened, Trey, I was like, look, oh, they switched Vucevic on him. Look what's going to happen. He's going to do the same exact thing and get a jump shot. And it happened within 5 seconds of me saying that. And, you know, I just don't think Vucevic was a great answer there. Not that there was a great answer on the floor, but I just felt like, you know, it was just obvious to me. And so, again, that's just being slow to adjust. But like I said, they didn't really go back to Bobby Portis. That didn't happen the rest of the game. So maybe it's something where he did make an adjustment at that point. And, you know, they didn't necessarily the Bucks didn't necessarily see such an advantage there. But like stuff like that is what gives me, you said yellow flag. And I think that's a pretty accurate statement for me as well. Not a red flag yet. I'm not like throwing the towel on Billy. I've been a critic of his for all season. I feel, well, not all season, but three quarters of the season probably. And, you know, again, I don't think he's the worst coach in the world. I'm not saying that. I don't think he's, you know, worse than average. I think he's pretty average. And I just want to see him improve in some things. And this is one of the things I see that I want him to improve in. So I don't get why people are so heated about this on Twitter and stuff. It's like, I'm not saying he's like awful and he needs to be fired or anything like that, right? So I don't know.
It's all about being on one side. You're either all in one or all in the other.
This is why I'm not made for Twitter, but yet I spend all day on it. So, yeah, that's go me, I guess. Go my mental health. Let's talk about, you know, Vooch a little bit here. And one thing that I did also see with the Bulls was, you know, they made that run to cut it to 8 in the third quarter. Then Milwaukee had the counterpunch and built the lead back up to 15, I think it was. And Vooch just disappeared again. It was, you know, it happened even earlier than the fourth quarter this time. The Bulls, and Hubie Brown was mentioning it even several times as it was happening. The Bulls were just not looking to get the ball to him to create, you know, make the defense move and collapse so that they could, you know, create openings at other places on the floor. So I just don't. That to me is an error on the coaching because I just don't understand why you don't call a timeout there then and there and emphasize the fact that you were getting good looks when you got Vooch the ball in the post, in the high post, and people were cutting off of that. You were relying on Vooch to play make. So why did they go away from it, Trey? Do you have any explanation
for this? This ties into something I was going to bring up. So I do have an explanation for it, actually. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking at the box score right now. Even though Caruso only played 17 minutes, so he was one of the starters. DeRozan had 20 shots. Zach had 18 shots. And Vucevic had 14 shots, which normally you'd think, okay, that's about right, you know, on a bad night. But then you have Patrick Williams also getting 13 shots. Mm-hmm. I feel like if you have Patrick Williams, DeRozan, and Zach getting that many, you know, getting that many shots, that's what, 20, 38, 41, what, 51 shots compared to Vooch getting 14? You have to get Vooch involved. DeRozan and Zach, if Patrick Williams is going to take 13 shots, those shots need to come from DeRozan and Zach. They don't need to be coming from the ones that Vucevic is taking. We still need Vucevic to be creating from that big position. He's the only big creator we have. And when you stop using it, like you mentioned, it just goes away and it stalls everything else down. So to me, again, yellow flag with the Billy Donovan. Not making sure Vooch is being focused whenever the wings are kind of taking over because the Bulls do love that ISO ball so much. So to me, I think that's the reason why. I think that's something to look at going forward. So to me, the big two things I want to see next year is the offense running more through Vucevic and maybe even Patrick Williams as the small ball five against some lesser teams next year just to get him kind of that practice. And that, again, the defensive rotations.
Yeah, you were seeing things like early in the first half where, you know, Vooch was making just a quick cut to the middle of or the elbow or just below the elbow to the side of the basketball, to the strong side, catching the basketball and then just making good decisions from there. And we just didn't see it in the second half. So, yeah, again, you know, you said yellow flag again. I agree with you there also, Trey. It's just something that the Bulls went away from and there's really not a good reasoning for it. And they really just kind of shot themselves in the foot by not going to it more. Here we're going to end on a good note here, Trey. And the good note is that Tristan Thompson only got 5 minutes and 17 seconds. And I'm okay with that. But I agree now. I will go ahead and admit that I was wrong. I thought Tristan Thompson was a good signing. I thought this was going to be, you know, help shore up our, you know, rebounding shortcomings. It was going to help. We were going to be solid defensively when he was on the floor. I thought, you know, he'd bring a lot more than he has brought so far. I'm out on Tristan Thompson. No more Tristan Thompson for me. Let Derrick Jones Jr. play all this. So, you know, I always give Marque some bull crap online and on the show. Marque has been saying that from the start of the playoffs, basically, and I am on board 100% with that. What about you?
Oh, yeah, 100%. I've been out on Thompson since about a week after he signed in terms of being, you know, a long-term competitor. I liked the signing at the time. I thought it was a good idea to bring him in and just to try him out. And, it didn't necessarily work out. So, to me, I'm so glad he's not playing.
Yeah.
I mentioned liking Derrick Jones Jr. at the five. The Bucks, they're really too big to have Patrick Williams at the five. But I just think there's so many better, more versatile options that the Bulls can have that can just change things up and can just kind of revitalize this team that just seems to stagnate and get stuck in the mud. Sure, rather than Tristan freaking Thompson.
Shoot, at this point, give Marko Simanović, you know, 5 to 8 minutes. I mean, come on, let's start looking towards next season. I want to see this guy out there. He's been killing it in the G League. Let's see what this guy's got. Give him those minutes. Give him some reps here in a high stressful environment. And see what happens. I mean, you have nothing to lose at this point. So why not? But yeah, please no more Tristan Thompson minutes. Let's pull the plug on that entirely. Just to kind of give his stat line here: 5 minutes and 17 seconds. He played one rebound. One assist, 3 turnovers, and 2 personal fouls. So he had more turnovers and fouls than other stats, which, you know, not too surprising. But yeah, Trey, we've got one more game at least here. We're going to hope for a Bulls win. And, you know, the Bulls can extend the series here. And that's all we can do. You hang around. You try to keep yourselves in it. And you see what happens. I mean, Middleton went down. Maybe Giannis turns his ankle in the beginning of the next game and the Bulls pull one out. You never know. You just got to keep banging away and going after it. And that is one thing I'll give the Bulls credit for tonight, or today, I should say, is that even though the Bucks were clearly the better team and they were just getting spanked pretty much from the tip, the Bulls never gave up. The Bulls really, I felt like, gave max effort all the way through the end of the game. Sometimes they made boneheaded decisions, but the effort level was there. What do you agree with that?
100%. This game, I can say, yeah, it sucks to lose by this much. I'm not saying it was a big success, but there were silver linings to find in this defeat. So, to me, it's a good learning experience. It's a great playoff experience for the guys who haven't been there before. And on to the next one. If the next one is the last one, it is what it is. But I think the Bulls had a much more respectable showing tonight than they did in the first game back at the United Center.
It's been a good season, man. The Bulls were projected by everybody to be basically a play-in team. They end up being a 6th seed. Obviously struggled down the stretch there, but we'll definitely do a recap at the end of this year and just break down, you know, our thoughts on the season as a whole, what we were expecting, what happened, and all that. But I'm excited for that as well. But Wednesday, we've got the Bucks again, April 27th. No time yet on that. Game, but we've got a few days to sit here and think about this loss and what the Bulls can do to be better. So before we do sign off, though, I want to also remind you all to use coupon code HoopBall20 at manscaped.com for 20% off your order and free shipping. And also check out our pals at mybookie.ag. Use code HoopBall on the third page of sign up to unlock deposit match bonuses there as well. I'm Keith Cork. You can find me on Twitter at BSBPKeith. And Trey, where can the good people find you?
On Twitter at Finally.
And please do follow the show at Ethos Bulls. I'll be bringing you content all off season here, probably at least once a week here. So stick with us. If you're a true diehard Bulls fan, we will have some stuff here to hold you over until that summer league starts and draft time and all that good stuff. So it's all just around the corner, man. Basketball never stops. Basketball never sleeps. Let's go Bulls.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.